Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, joined by my co-host, Landon Mance. We've been doing this for 5 years, and I'm still not quite sure if I should be saying I'm one of your co-hosts, Austin Peterson, and my other co-host, Landon Mance, but we're just going to roll with it. I'm the host. You're the co-host. Just take that ego hit.
All right. I can work with that.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast today for the first time and you don't know who we are, we're glad you're here. Landon and I own a financial planning practice, business consultancy that works with small business owners. It's what we do day in and day out. We believe that the backbone of the American economy is the small business owner, and we named our firm after it because of it. So Backbone Planning Partners is what we do day in and day out. But this podcast we've been doing for about 5 years, where we kind of share some different ideas. We've had guests in the past, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's just Landon and I talking about things that business owners deal with day in and day out. So hopefully you enjoyed the ride. Today, we're going to talk about preparing for the unexpected. So emergency funds and contingency planning for small business owners. So Landon, what do you think of when you think about emergency funds and contingency planning for small business owners?
I mean, nothing ever goes wrong in small business, right? Nothing ever goes not according to plan, right? So I don't know why we'd be talking about this today. Honestly, it makes me think about situations. It makes me think about client situations that we have come across over the years where they have not done this kind of planning and something transpires. One of their employees commits fraud, you know, embezzlement against them. The economy takes a turn. They lose a major customer. A vendor goes out of business. They're hiring too quickly. There's a million different scenarios that we have seen just in the service of the clients that we work for. So that's what comes to mind, is just the situations that we have seen unfold where people have not done proper planning in this area and they've suffered the consequences because of it.
Yeah. I mean, you and I started this podcast on Cinco de Mayo 2020, right? So harken back to Cinco de Mayo 2020. And we were right in the thick of trying to figure out what's going on with this pandemic. Business owners are struggling. You've got the EIDL loans and you've got what was the other one? I'm losing my train of thought. You remember what the other one was called?
No, yeah, the EIDL loans and then the, begin with the P.
PPP.
Yes, PPP.
Yeah,
so the PPP. I mean, there's a lot of P's.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially the government stepped in at that point and kind of provided this cash flow to business owners to basically help them stay afloat, keep their employees employed, et cetera, et cetera. That was the justification for it. Like, hey, we'll forgive this. You won't have to pay it back on the PPP side as long as you keep your employees employed and so forth and so on. Well, the reality is we don't want to ever be in that situation as a business owner. We should be prepared for the ups and downs of what goes on economically or otherwise, just by virtue of running a business in a smart way and having that emergency fund or a contingency plan in place. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a few things: economic downturns, recessions. Right now, everybody's worried about inflation. There's supply chain breakdowns that happened a bunch during the pandemic. You couldn't get stuff here from China, all these kinds of things that were kind of going on. One thing you didn't mention that I think we should mention is health issues of a key employee or an owner, right? Like, what happens if You know, I know a business owner that got in a major bicycle accident and had traumatic brain injury and was in the hospital for a very long time. And if that's the case, like they may never recover if that happens to you or to one of your employees, or they may be out for a very long time. So what do you do in that instance, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what you can do to guard against all those kinds of things. So I'll toss it over to you, Len, and just kind of ask you this first question, because there's like the general answer, and then there's like, it kind of depends on how your business operates. So in general, how much cash or an emergency fund should a business have on hand?
Yeah. So before I answer that question, you made a great point about the health issues. Without giving away too much here, I had a family member in town this weekend. They just left Sunday. And while they were staying at my house, they got a phone call. And it was from their boss/owner's girlfriend, saying that there had been an accident. He was riding a motorcycle. They had got done doing something and his buddy was there with a motorcycle and he just kind of popped on it, I guess, to ride it around for a minute with no helmet. And he crashed and he hit his head. He does not remember what they were doing prior to hitting his head. He doesn't remember doing it. He doesn't remember the accident. He doesn't remember hitting his head. Doesn't remember anything that happened. So to be determined the severity of his injury, but undoubtedly it is a TBI. You know, it might just be a concussion, but I believe a TBI, a concussion would fall into that category. I would imagine. So anyway, the point is, like, this kind of stuff happens all the time. You're in Vistage. I was in Vistage for a number of years. In the short 2 years that I was in Vistage, or 2.5 years, several of my Vistage peers, one of them got into a very serious accident riding a scooter. I mean, could have killed herself. It was pretty serious. I mean, she had a really gnarly fall, I believe without a helmet as well. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it's not just the 60 and 70 and 80 year old small business owners that have been running businesses for decades that are getting elderly and sick. It's the small business owners that we know that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s that have accidents or health issues, that stuff happens all the time. Or even a spouse has a health issue. We've seen that multiple times as well. So anyway, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that is a huge one that I didn't mention. Okay, how much is enough? The general rule of thumb, which is a great starting point, is going to be a minimum of 3 months of operating expenses. Okay, so if all in, it costs you $100,000 to run your business. So your rent, your payroll, your insurance, you know, your supplies, blah, 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 blah. All in, it costs you roughly $100,000. You should have $300,000 liquid at the absolute bare minimum. 6 months is kind of on the higher side of that curve. So 3 months, absolute bare minimum. 6 months, I would say, is the higher end of the minimum. And some business owners, depending on the seasonality, the volatility, a starting point for them might actually be more like 6 to 12 months. And some people might be listening to this going, that's ridiculous. Like, nobody has 6 to 12 months of cash like on their balance sheet. And well, actually, yeah, they do. So that's a good starting point. 3 to 6 months minimum. I'd say 6 to 12 months maximum, depending on, again, all the different variables that are considered in your business. On the opposite side of that, we could use our own business as an example, which we've done before. We have recurring revenue that comes into our business every single month. and the amount of that recurring revenue that comes in is sufficient to pay the expenses of our practice. So for us, we keep a much smaller amount of cash on hand because we know that we have that monthly recurring revenue that comes in. So we're on the lower end of the 3 to 6 months spectrum. Whereas some of the clients that we work with, they've got huge seasonality swings in their business. So we're generally looking there at more of that 6 to 12 months of expenses because they could go 2 or 3 or 4, or sometimes even 5 months with very, very minimal revenue coming in. And they still have $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 a month in expenses that they need to pay. So they have to keep a much larger cushion in their accounts at all times.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there, Landon. So yeah, I mean, we have very stable recurring revenue. So that puts us in a different spot. And if you own a business that has very stable recurring revenue, then absolutely, right? Seasonality is one thing, but another thing to think about is how much of your revenue comes from one or a small number of clients. Because if you have a large percentage of your revenue that comes from a very small percentage of your clients, then you should also be keeping additional money on hand in case of the loss of one or a few of those clients. That customer concentration is a humongous risk. You mentioned Vistage, and I've recently had, in the last couple of years, I've had a couple of Vistage members that ultimately ended up having to leave Vistage because of cash flow reasons, because they lost their top customer or a handful of customers that were responsible for a large percentage of their revenue. And they weren't prepared for it. They didn't have the excess cash on hand. They didn't think about the fact that customer concentration is a huge risk. And so it does definitely depend, but I think a good rule of thumb for anybody listening, if you don't have 3 months of your expenses, you should work on getting to that 3 months of expenses. And so I'll share kind of another quick example of a client of ours that follows the profit first method. And so if you're not familiar with Mike Michalowicz and his book Profit First, I definitely recommend that you get a hold of that and you read it. You know, the premise is if you don't set aside profit first, then you can't really kind of do anything else. You can't do anything for your employees. You can't contribute to charity. You can't keep running your business if something like the things that we've mentioned happens. And so you've got to set aside that profit first, but it's really so much more than that. And I've been doing this a long time. Landon, you've been doing it for a long time too. We know about the profit first methodology. I've spoken to many clients who say, oh yeah, I believe in that. And I follow that. And I have some clients that'll set aside the percentage for profit, but then they don't take it to that next step. And this new client of ours, I've been actually very impressed with the fact that they do it this way. And that's the fact that they have percentages split out for all the different areas, right? So profit, operating expenses, marketing, employee benefits, and they don't even really mean like the benefit costs for health insurance and life insurance and those sorts of things. They're talking about like, we want to do a Halloween party every year, or I want to do a big Christmas party or whatever. And so literally every dollar that comes in gets waterfalled to each of those different areas. Mm-hmm. And so they literally have a different account for all of those different areas. And every dollar that comes in and it gets split out into each of those accounts based on those percentages. Well, what happens at the end of the year or whenever any of those expenses come up, it's never a question, right? So there's money in the tax account. There's money for the Christmas party. There's money for the bonuses. There's money for this. There's money for that. Like they've literally split it out that way from the get-go. Now, am I saying you have to do it exactly that way? No, but what I'm saying is you better understand what your needs are and start to build a plan around that so that you can build to that gradually, right? Another thing, and you can expound on this a little bit, but like a windfall, right? a large project, right? Take money and put it aside to start to build those emergency funds, or a big tax refund that you weren't expecting, or, you know, PPP funds that came in that you weren't expecting and didn't need, right? Like, all of these things are a way to start to build your emergency fund. So I'll shut up for a second and let you weigh in on that.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. You know, it makes me think about John Warlow and his book and his teachings around built to sell, right? Building your company to be a sellable asset one day. And imagine being like a buyer and coming into a business and signing an NDA to acquire it. And they open up the Komodo and you see that they are allocating percentages of their revenue coming in to all these different buckets to ensure that all financial obligations are being met accordingly on time with proper reserves. I mean, that's pretty powerful. That's going to give a buyer a lot of confidence that you really know the finances of the business. So just a good point to double click on there. So as you're thinking about like setting the right amount, we've talked about some ideas, kind of general ideas, but, you know, breaking that down a little bit further and determining kind of the fixed versus the variable costs, you know, in kind of preparation to set a proper reserve for your business, that's kind of a good place to start. That should give you a good indication as to what might be an appropriate amount to set aside. Okay, so now we've kind of talked about that a bit. So let's talk about like what are you going to do with these funds, right? Where are you going to keep these funds? Do you put them under the mattress? You know, do you put them in the safe? I'm laughing because we've literally seen both. Do you keep them in the you know, business checking and savings? Do you strip them out and put them into your personal accounts? You know, what do you do with those? And generally, a good place to start is where we usually advise to start is once you've hit that good amount, like that minimum 3 to 6 months of expenses on the lower end of that. So let's just say like, you know, 3 or 4 months of expenses, that money should be essentially kept in cash, right? And when I say cash, I don't mean dollar bills or sitting in your bank account per se. What I mean is liquid short-term investments where you can look to get a decent little return on your money, better than zero, but that money is liquid and it's accessible to you at any time. So there's a number of instruments that you can consider, but that's what's important to know. Short-term, liquid, better than a 0% return. And that may just mean like a high yield savings account, you know, that some banks will offer where you can get 3 or 4+%, right? Okay, like that's a lot better than zero. Okay, so that's where your cash should sit. Now, let's say that you determine that a proper amount of cash for your business is 8 months of operating expenses. Well, keeping 8 months of operating expenses like in cash, that might be overkill for your situation. Again, it's going to be situational depending on the business, but that may be overkill. Like, okay, so what do we do in that case? Well, in that case, we might take 3 to 4 months of expenses, leave them in cash and some kind of short-term vehicles that are liquid and give you better than a 0% return. And then we might take the other 3 to 4 months of expenses and put them into some kind of an investment strategy that is still in the name of the business. So just like you open up a business bank account, you can open up a business investment account and you start to funnel money over to your investment account so that now we are seeking a more moderate return on your monies. So just hypothetically speaking, if you can get 3 or 4% around there for your cash, like that seems pretty good. Well, if we can get a moderate return of maybe 4 or 5 or 6% on the other monies, then that seems like a pretty good strategy to me. And again, that money, it's still very important that that money is still liquid, right? You're not going to lock yourself into some kind of an account where you get penalized or you get fees if you move the money out. So it's got to be very liquid still, which there's plenty of stuff out there that can. And what's cool about that strategy, which we implement that strategy with a bunch of our clients, is that it just becomes like a if then. So if your bucket of cash gets greater than 3 or 4 months of expenses, you just start to siphon off to this other strategy that is designed to get a higher rate of return.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally not rocket science, but letting it just sit in your savings account that's earning, I haven't looked at savings rates lately, but I know they're less than 1%. They may be as low as 0.25% still. And so you're basically just letting the bank use that cash and make money off of your cash for no reason. Mm-hmm. So you need it. It needs to be liquid. It needs to be accessible. But there are ways to get higher returns. I was looking at some cash rates yesterday, and we've got money market rates that are accessible to us at 4.19%. Not as high as it was 6 months ago, right? But still, 4.19% is actually, from an average perspective, way higher than money market rates have been during the 25 years that I've been doing this. Because we just came through a really long, low interest rate environment. So 4.19 for cash, that's pretty good. So at least do something to earn money on that, because expenses increase. There's a lot of reasons to have a rate of return. That having cash on hand can be just as risky as not having cash on hand. So obviously, I'm not talking cash like dollar bills, like Landon said. Some of the cannabis dispensaries and all those sorts of things, they've got some cash issues, and there are different risks there from a security standpoint. Mm-hmm. But we're just talking about the fact that you're not keeping pace with inflation, right? That's one of the things that we didn't mention as a risk, like inflation and tariffs and all these kinds of things that are going on politically today. Some of that's going to affect some of our businesses and some of us personally. And so we've got to try to make sure that we're keeping pace with all those types of things. So just be looking at other ways to earn some money on those emergency funds, even though they still need to be liquid. So I jumped a little bit on funding the emergency reserves, but I'm going to kind of hit a couple of other points, right? So windfalls, I mentioned already, tax refunds or a big job or whatever, unexpected money that comes in. I also talked about the client who's allocating a percentage to that account. So allocate a percentage of the revenue to that account every single day, week, month, however your revenue comes in, to be putting money into that account to slowly build it. That's the most common for anybody listening as a way to build that. But really it kind of coincides with the other one that I was just about to mention, and that's make it automatic, right? So if there's a way for you to automate it, whether it's an automatic transfer of a certain dollar amount every single month that goes over, or the percentage that I mentioned, do whatever you have to do to make it automatic so that you don't think about it. There's not extra money there to use in a different way to either spend or put in your own pocket or whatever. In the long run, you will be much happier. You will sleep much better. You will have way less stress as a business owner if you do these sorts of things to build that emergency reserve. And I don't know if we've talked about it on the show or if just Landon and I have talked about it. I know I've talked about it with clients a lot. And that's the fact that if your stress level is lower as a business owner, your performance will be much better. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not worrying about cash flow and all those types of things, it frees your mind up to focus on other things that will help you grow the business and perform at your peak as a business owner. So, you know, that's another byproduct of setting this up.
I would say if anybody that's listening, if you're looking for one nugget, one takeaway from this 30-minute conversation that Austin and I are gonna be recording today, it would be that right there, what you just said. I don't think you can quantify that. Gosh, I had another conversation this weekend with a business owner that from the outside looking in, people would think that this person is very successful and they are in a major cash crunch and stressed out of their mind. So I don't think that can be double clicked on enough. The peace of mind that you get from not stressing about money inside your business, it's just really hard to quantify that, because we have seen it time and time and time and time again, just in our own businesses and the clients that we serve, where there's so many storms that you can weather if you've got a nice, healthy chunk of cash in your business. Like it doesn't necessarily matter what happens, right? You can get sued. You can lose a big employee. Like the list goes on and on and on and on. But if you've got a nice, healthy cash reserve in your business, like you're not going to stress about that stuff to nearly the extent that you would if you're on the other side of that coin, where something happens and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? I've only got a month's worth of cash in the business, and now I'm getting sued by this person for 6 months of cash, and I got to pay a lawyer. And, you know, it's like, so I just don't think that can be overstated, the importance of that statement that you made. So I'm glad you said that. All right. Well, we are essentially at time here. So let's figure out what's going to be the best thing to close out with. Maybe we just talk about real quick, kind of the role of insurance, having some kind of safety net type plans in place other than just kind of cash. So let me kick it back to you, spend a minute or two on this, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's really a lot of different types of insurance and then there's specific insurance for different types of business. So we're not going to get overly complicated. And like Landon said, we're running short on time anyway, but I'm just going to mention three real quick. So one today that everybody should at least be looking at is cyber liability insurance. It's a big, big issue. I mean, everybody knows phishing is way up, text messages, emails, phone calls, all that kind of stuff. So cyber liability insurance, it's going to cover data breaches and cyber attacks. So if you let your client's personal information go, you're liable for that. So having that cyber liability insurance is important. Business interruption insurance. So we talked about business being interrupted for a lot of different reasons, right? Natural disasters, COVID, somebody gets really hurt or whatever, a lot of different reasons you lose income. And so business interruption insurance can actually replace your income. Alongside that, I'm going to mention there's business overhead expense for disability that can be covered. So something to kind of think about there. And then the last thing I'll mention is key person insurance. And that can be done for disability or life insurance, like I mentioned. And so if there's somebody who's key to your business, whether it's you as the owner or somebody else, having some sort of insurance on them from a life insurance standpoint, and more potentially a disability insurance standpoint as well, it just protects you in those what if moments, right? So just real quick mention of those. I know we're short on time, but if you want or need more information about any of them, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to have a conversation. We don't provide business interruption insurance or cyber liability, but we do work on the key person side. We'd be happy to have a conversation about any of them and point you in the right direction.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. We appreciate you listening. Our goal is very simple here. Our goal is to provide value to the small business owner community, to the clients that we serve, to us. We are entrepreneurs kind of first and advisors second. So this is good information for all of us to kind of listen and absorb together. Looks like we have created a free contingency planning checklist for small business owners. So the link will be in the comments. So download it, use it, think about it, reach out. We're happy to have a discussion with anybody that's in the small business owner community. So
yeah, just real quick, Len, I'm just gonna give you three quick takeaways, right? So 3 to 6 months of savings, double check your insurance, and then make sure that you have that contingency plan. So that goes along with the checklist, and then set a meeting with your financial advisor to assess where you are, where it should be. And then our next episode is Tuesday, March 11th at 10:30 a.m. Pacific. So hope to see you there. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.